Hello, everyone. Good morning, good afternoon, or good evening, depending on where you're joining us from. Welcome to the School of Mary live cynical series. And this is the ebook series where we take Reverend Father Joseph Leo Annuzzi's doctoral dissertation and we try to methodically go through it. And how successful we are in that, we're not sure. But again, everything we read in the dissertation, which drives us into the volumes, is very healthy for each and every one of us. So we're going to begin with prayer, but we thought that today, since we're in the month of May and our Blessed Lady, we're going to use a supplication, and we're going to be using it from the Virgin Mary in the Kingdom, day 31. And this is the soul to the Glorious Queen, and it's us to the Glorious Queen. In the name of the Father, and of the Son, and of the Holy Spirit, amen. My dear Heavenly Mother, I am back in your maternal arms, and as I look at you, a sweet smile appears on your purest lips. Today you are rejoicing, and it seems as if you wish to confide something yet more surprising to me, your child. Oh, Holy Mother, I entreat you to touch my mind and purify my heart with your maternal hands so that I may understand your holy lessons and put them into practice. Amen. In the name of the Father, and of the Son, and of the Holy Spirit, amen. So just a joy to be here today. Grateful to have awakened today, both physically as well as spiritually, and truly blessed to be alive at this time. Thanks be to God for everything, and thanks be to God for Maureen's with us today. So I'm going to unmute Maureen right now. Waste no time.
And, hi, Peter. Hi, everybody.
Yeah, right. So great to have you, Maureen. We good missed you here last week. And I had some technical problems on Friday, so we had to have it on Saturday. So, but all came out okay, I think. So, Maureen, what we did is we did the usual. Well, you know what? I'll walk through this a little bit because we saved a little bit of time in the beginning. I wasn't so talkative. But we recall and we recollect the divine will to a cog. And it makes a lot of sense. In fact, Jesus mentions it and explains it in volume 16, February 2nd, 1924. We're not going to read this excerpt right now, but basically the gist of it is we've got God who's the almighty power. He's now calling a small group of individuals to gain access, closeness to him never before achieved or achieved by very few, of course. Adam, Eve, and our Blessed Mother, Louisa, of course, so that this gift can be transmitted and then conveyed, because we're all cogs, and God perhaps has called the weakest, us, to be closest to him so that we don't totally fall out of the gears here. So that's probably what happened, but we have a great responsibility. It's a huge responsibility, and God promises to do all the work as long as we just cooperate with him. So let's go down a little bit more. And we talked about the divine will. When we first were introduced to it, it was a bit cloudy, a little bit foggy. We couldn't really see it very well, even though we were reading something and understanding it. We couldn't really understand it well. Now, every time we journey, it's as if the clouds are beginning to dissipate. The smoke is clearing, and we are being able to see it a little bit clearer. Not because our eyes are focusing better, but God is giving us a greater understanding of what's happening. So, Maureen, what I thought we would do is we'll read this again, because I think this puts everything into perspective. We're on the third footnote of 270 graces, so we didn't get very far. But, you know, you can't rush through this. I mean, this is, we'd be derelict if we did. So maybe we'll read the whole thing, and then we'll come back to here and just hit a couple highlights in red just to bring us sort of on the path of where our Blessed Mother and our Lord is taking us today. And we can just take the footnote where we are. So let me get the pointer out. And I appreciate it, Maureen. Thank you.
Okay. 5.3.7.1.1. Elaborations of P.G. Renzi's. Noteworthy is P.G. Renzi's application of the Maximilian divinization that is realized in man and that is unattainable by man's efforts, as it is God's pure favor. in presenting Maximus's preliminary stage of man's potential being that is situated in the mind of God, to the stage of his created being that occurs in the act of creation, P.G. Rienzis lays the foundation for Maximus's final stage of man's transformation of being into eternal being that occurs with the consent of his free human will. This transformation is an act of pure grace that culminates in divinization and establishes the continuous link of man's temporal being with God's eternal being. Similarly, Louisa affirms that God's gratuitous gift of living in the divine empowers man to continuously cooperate with his eternal being that transcends man's finite and temporal being. This gift is realized by virtue of God's great and unheard of and long chain of graces that impart to his soul continuous growth, whereby the acts of man's finite being are absorbed, raised, and transformed by the operation of God's eternal being. God's eternal being and operation, which alone brings about in man the continuous link of the eternal with the temporal, whereby the one is multiplied and the multiple is one, is rediscovered in Louisa's text, where the continuous cooperation of pre-lapsarian atoms being with the divine will of God's being forged the bond, the union of the one in many. Through Maximus's theology of divinization and Louisa's theology on the gift of living in the divine will, there emerges the reality of the human creature becoming by grace what God is by nature.
You know what I just realized? I just realized, Maureen, how great a summary this is for the divine will. Like if someone asks, well, what is the divine will? This is a great excerpt to send. And remember, this is what the power of the doctoral dissertation, Father Iannuzzi gives us a summary, as he did here. And then, as you see, he drives us into the volumes to go to passages that corroborate the summary. And of course, the summary corroborates the passages. So they're all in one. And this is what was met with abrogation by the Gregorian University of Rome, which is authorized by the Holy See. So in essence, this doctoral dissertation has the church's seal of approval. So as we wait for the critical edition to come out, to be released, hopefully soon, but we're told by the Archbishop that there's some issues, there's some ambiguities, not problems, not errors, but there are certain things that cannot be explained eloquently enough to present it and to filter it through our Catholic faith. So they're waiting for somebody who can do that. And we know who can do it, but maybe God is just giving us extra time. You know, Maureen, maybe just you know, we've got time right now to embrace this gift in faith. And I have to believe that once the church gives its final stamps, and there's no more questions, some of that faith is going to have to automatically convert to obedience because the church says so. So really, really, we can leap into this in total faith. In fact, that's what it even says, if I have it here. No, the Son of My Will, the biography of Louisa, published by the Vatican Publishing Company, which is pretty astonishing that they published this because she's only a servant of God only. But in the conclusion, and again, conclusion usually wraps up things. Well, in the conclusion of this book, published by the Vatican, I'm sure they'll be very careful what is published. This is what it says, quote, "Here is what clearly appears. This living in the divine will of Jesus is the greatest gift that he wants to give to people. It's an overflow of his mercy because it is his nature to want to splurge even more in pouring out his love." So it states that this does appear to be the greatest gift. And then on the following page, though, this is the caveat. It says, wait a minute, quote, "But in order to understand this gift, It is necessary to take a leap into a mystery that is inexplicable or unable to be explained, but that can be embraced and followed if one so chooses. End quote. So again, faith. And what did our blessed Lord say every time somebody was healed? It's your faith that's healed you. It's the faith, the confidence that we have in God. Jesus, I trust in you. Okay. So Maureen, if we can just maybe review some of the red, I think I converted some that I thought we couldn't. Well, I think we have time. We got off to a pretty good start here. Okay. If we can start here, that'd be great.
Okay. My daughter, my love. Oh, I'm sorry. Then he continued, great graces am I pouring in you. Make sure you keep them well. And Jesus, do not fear. I myself will teach you the way you must keep in speaking with your neighbor. First, when you are told something about your neighbor, cast a gaze upon yourself and observe whether you are guilty of that same defect. For in that case, wanting to correct is wanting to make me indignant and to scandalize your neighbor. Second, if you see yourself free of that defect, rise then and try to speak as I would have. In this way, you will speak with my own tongue. By doing so, you will never fail in charity with your neighbor. On the contrary, with your words, you will do good to yourself and to your neighbor. And to me, you will give me honor and glory.
Yeah, Jesus gives us great advice, you know, towards all peoples, but especially this small little family, you know, growing and journeying in the divine will, a lot of times we're limiting God because we have a certain source that our teachings come through. And some say, oh, well, I have my source. I don't want to listen to anyone else. And, I have to think that we might be limiting God by that because, God gives this divine will understanding a little differently to everyone, even those who are teaching us. And that's a great grace because, again, we can almost see an object from several different angles. And that's how you can really put in your brain or in your mind, you know, how the totality of whatever object we're looking at. Again, I'm using a metaphorical example, probably not a very good one. So the same comes through with the divine will, the way Father Celso speaks, only Father Celso can speak. The way Father Iannuzzi speaks, only Father Iannuzzi can speak. The way Mother Gabriel speaks, the same, only she can speak. It's all good. It's all a slightly different, let's say, you of blue, if we're calling the divine will blue. And that's good. That's actually very healthy. So let's try first to listen to what Jesus says there and try not to ignore and even sometimes even worse, badmouth or talk badly about some of these gifts, these blessings that God has given to us. I think, we're still hearing it. So I keep wanting to just try to emphasize this because deep down, I think, wait a minute. How can peace come to reign on the earth if peace can't come into this little small group of the family of the divine will? I think once we become united, I think that will open the doors. That's just a personal opinion, but it can't hurt just to be united anyway. Right? It's love. Mm-hmm. Okay. Anything else on that, Maureen? Any thoughts?
No, I just think that, well, yeah, I do have a thought. I think I mentioned this the other day. And it's striking me now again. Sometimes it's really hard to be with holy people that are striving to be holy because I was thinking this the other day. It's like, why is that? Like, why do they all have different thoughts and they think that their thoughts is God's will? That's what it is. I think people that are striving to be holy feel like they know God's will. So I think we need to learn how to just step back a little and not feel like we know what's the right thing all the time, you know, and that's humility. Or like Jesus says, we have to be nothing, like even smaller than humble, because if you're humble, that's part of you. I mean, doesn't that have humanity in it? Where if we're nothing, It's all Jesus. So I do think there is a danger of people that are striving to be holy to feel that they know the right way and it's only their way. Where I think if they're more little, we all have to be a little more little, that it will go a lot smoother, you know, our road to learn the divine will.
Oh, well said. I agree. I like that you said take that step back. I think that's really good for everything. Actually, it's a great advice for everything in life, because I think it's the delineating point between a response or a reaction. And I know for myself, almost every one of my reactions is wrong, terribly wrong. So what I try to do, and again, I'm not that successful, is before, you know, my knee-jerk reaction, step back, like Maureen said.
I don't know if anybody's that's watching or listening has ever seen the movie The Song of Bernadette. And I saw a clip of it the other day, and I said to myself, oh my gosh, she was a nothing. She was a nothing. She was so dear. She didn't know her catechism or even Louisa. And so it was neat for me to be able to say, oh, now I know what a nothing looks like. That's where we have to be. The more we're empty totally, even of humility, the more there is for God to fill. He wants to be our everything. He can if we're still there. We have to get rid of ourselves somehow. I don't know. That's the big question.
No, that's true. You know, you just mentioned the Song of Bernadette. A thought just came to my mind. The one scene where, you know, the one nun didn't believe her, you know, right. The elderly nun didn't believe her. And then toward the end of the movie, she says something like, well, you know what? You can't be who you say you are, or people say you are, because everyone that's in that position suffers. You're not suffering.
Right.
And then I think, if I recall it, she lifts her skirt or something. Yeah. Not skirt, just, you know, the cassock.
The habit.
The habit. and shows like this gangrene or this rigor mortis setting in a part of her leg that must be excruciating painful. But she didn't let anyone know. She didn't go around, you know, sobbing. She didn't want anyone to feel sorry for her, because she was taking that suffering and she was using it with Christ. And then that, but the saints in heaven, we learned through the mystics that they wish they had more time on earth. Why? To suffer.
Yeah.
Not the bad things, to suffer, because they knew how redemptive it was. Again, suffering in of itself is not good, but when offered for in exchange for the suffering of Christ is redemptive. And our catechism teaches that. So thank you for the Song of Bernadette. That's a great movie to watch too, to emulate Bernadette, how simple she was, how she was sophisticatedly innocent. And you know what? We don't have to talk much. We don't have to say much. Here I am rambling and saying I don't have to talk much, but we really don't. Throughout the day, I've tried to learn to be quieter. Am I successful again? No, but it's really nice to be quieter and listen. You learn a lot more listening than speaking. I know I do. But thank you for that, Maureen. I'm going to think about Song of Bernadette now all evening. Yeah. Thanks for that. Did we tackle this here?
No.
Okay. No. Okay.
My daughter, my love for the creatures is so great that as soon as the soul decides to give herself to me, I surround her with so much grace. I caress her. I move her. I pick her up. I provide her with sensible graces, fervor, inspirations, squeezes to my heart. So, in seeing herself graceful, the soul begins to love me, forming like a foundation of prayers and pious practices inside her heart, and she begins to exercise the virtues. All this forms a flowery field in the soul. With trust in me, she will give flavor to the fruits. With loyalty, she will let them mature. And with courage, tolerance, and tranquility, they will grow and become rich fruits. And I, the celestial farmer, will pick these fruits and make of them my food. Then I will plant another field, more flowery and beautiful, in which heroic fruits will grow, such as to pull unheard of graces from my heart. But if she is unfaithful, mistrustful, agitated, and has a taste for human things, etc., these fruits will be unripe, insipid, bitter, covered with mud, and will serve to embitter me and to make me withdraw from the soul.
Great explanation. God gives us, again, that analogy of the fruit and the farmer. But I want to just touch really quickly. I don't want to spend a lot of time on it, but Maureen, the paragraph above that, it's very important. This is Jesus speaking. My daughter, my love for the creatures is so great that as soon as the soul decides to give herself to me, fiat, I surround her with so much grace. I don't know where it is in the volumes, but Jesus says, if you're in the state of grace and you desire me, in essence, I guarantee you will receive this gift. Now, he said that in an early volume. He didn't say that like in volume 36. So again, there's sometimes a misconception, you know, to live in the divine will doesn't only mean when you're perpetually living in the divine will. There are different stages of living the divine will. Perfectly, like Louisa, imperfectly, some less perfectly, like perhaps us, you know, in and out. We are for a time and we're not for a time. So as long as we're beginning that journey, and again, God promises he's going to give us the grace and graces. Then he's I'm going to caress her. I'm going to move her. I'm going to pick her up, provide her with sensible graces, fervor, inspiration, squeezes my. So all this is going to transpire probably well before we read the 36 volumes or get through the Virgin Mary and the Kingdom or the Hours of the Passion. I'm not saying that we shouldn't. We should do that. But God is going to begin working on us before that, because as he embraces us with these graces, we're going to be better able to digest what we're reading or listening to.
Peter, so, I think that's a important point that you're making, because to start the journey of the divine will, everything's new. The vocabulary is new. The way Jesus is, the things he's telling us are new. And so I can remember thinking, oh my gosh, I'm never going to get this. And I can't see myself doing this. But when I heard that you can have it on loan, I was so relieved. I said, oh, good, because I don't know when I'm going to be able to do it totally. I mean, there's a point, hopefully, that someday I will. But until that time, I can still, you know, perform my acts and receive my sons and, you know, do the acts in the divine will, even though I'm not totally living in it 24/7. That was important for me to hear. And so I think it's important to remind people that are just beginning that. Otherwise, I think it can be too big, you know, when you're just starting. Unless, of course, you have the infusion of some people and you get it right away. But I always say it's a journey. It's a lifelong journey. You don't just get it and close the book. It's a lifelong journey. And so that's a good thing, because we want to constantly be trying to grow in holiness. And this is the way to do it, reading these volumes.
That is true. And we know also from experience, the second time and third time we read mm-hmm. the same passage, we're learning more. Guaranteed, we're either going deeper in what we already learned, or we're learning something new and really exciting. But yeah, you're right about that, Maureen. The gift on loan is, I mean, and again, let's just think about this. These are Jesus' words, not my words. He says, anyone in the state of grace with an ardent desire can receive this gift on loan. Now, it's usually given to us for one act. And then, of course, God withdraws. But what he's doing is he's giving a taste of the divine will. Mm-hmm. And he says, in not so many words, that when he removes it or retracts it, he leaves behind some residue. And the residue mm-hmm. is there to foster desire, understanding, and love and appreciation for the divine will, similar to the Eucharist. That's why one of the reasons why the church makes it a mandatory obligation to receive Holy Eucharist every week, because the church knows that that is the body, but it's the divine will for the 15 minutes or so that the church teaches that until it dissolves. So the more we receive it, the more grace we receive. And again, the efficacy of that grace can vary depending on our disposition, our desire, and everything else. But the more we receive it, the more, in essence, God is addicting us to his divine will, because there are things in that divine will, there are elements of it that are so spectacular, so incredible, and so different than our normal everyday life, that that we're going to want it. We're going to desire it even more. So that's beautiful. Thank you for that, Maureen. Mm-hmm. Okay, so we can come down to, okay, this is what we covered last week, Maureen, and or 2 weeks ago, actually. I think we went over again. This is very important, too, about the indulgences. And again, I'm not I'm to get myself in trouble, but I'm not trying to say that we shouldn't do devotional prayers, we shouldn't do novenas. I'm not saying any of that. But what I am trying to point out is what Jesus says. And maybe it's, do you mind if we just read this paragraph here? Okay.
Okay. Value, effects, and divine ability of doing the hours of the Passion. I was thinking about the hours of the Passion, which have now been written, and how they are without any indulgence. So those who do them do not gain anything. While there are many prayers enriched with many indulgences. While I was thinking of this, my always adorable Jesus, all kindness, told me, my daughter, one gains something through the prayers with indulgences, but the hours of my Passion, which are my own prayers, my reparations, and all my love, came really from the depth of my heart. Did you perhaps forget how many times I united myself with you to do them together? And I turned chastisements into graces over the entire earth? So my satisfaction is such that, instead of the indulgence, I give the soul a handful of love, which contains infinite love of incalculable value. Further, when things are done for pure love, my love finds its outpouring, and it is not inconsiderable that the creature can give relief and expression to the love of her creator.
It's giving some really sound advice. Again, sounds a little shocking, perhaps, but it almost sounds like God saying, you know, if you don't have a lot of time, and he understands what our other obligations are in life, especially the important ones, you know, child care and elderly care and other, you know, you have to work and have to, you know, make sure the family's fed well and taken care of. If we don't have a lot of time, the hours of the Passion, for a worldly term, is the greatest bang for the buck. I mean, Father Anuzzi was asked a question on one of our Q&As one Sunday, and somebody said just the exact thing we're talking about, that I don't have a lot of time. I try to do as much of the divine will as I can. I've cut out TV. I've cut out newspaper reading. I'm just, you know, that's my only source of what I do outside my other obligations. And Father, I want to journey as quickly as I can. Of course, you know, not outpacing grace. What do you recommend? And Father Anuzzi said, you know, wholeheartedly that it's the hours of the Passion, because he said it's the active participation in not only God's Passion, but also his relief. So think about that, not just the Passion, but the relief, because he says we're actively participating with the hours of the Passion, as opposed to, again, not minimalizing, you know, reading or listening to the volumes, but there's a different participation in the hours of the Passion. So that's how he answers it. So again, I think he explains it here as well. Any thoughts on that?
Well, the hours of the Passion are Jesus is dying and redeeming us on the cross, and we take part in that. I mean, we're taking part in everything that he did when we read that. I just think, you know, I leave it in my car because I don't even want to lose the book, because I lose everything once it comes into my house. So I leave it in the car. And then when I go to Mass, it's right there. So even though I don't get through the whole hour, I read it before Mass and I read it after Mass, because I mean, when you read in the beginning of that book, Jesus's words speaking about the hours of the Passion my gosh, you'd be crazy not to to really try to get them in. I mean, they're so yeah. powerful, really.
Oh, true. And it's not us trying to dissuade anyone from you know, doing a novena or anything like that. But those are the words of Jesus who just spoke that. Indulgences are given. So would you rather receive indulgences or a handful of love, of my love? What's more powerful? What's more valuable? Again, I don't want to, God is not greater than great. But again, this is an example. That's what it is, Maureen. It's an mm-hmm. example of giving up even holy things.
Yeah.
Because if we listen to those words and if we trust those words as being accurate, as being actually given by God, by Jesus, I think we may meditate on that and decide what to do.
And didn't one of the popes said, when we read this, we should be kneeling because this is Jesus.
Yeah, it was a report, Pius X, who was a friend of St. Hannibal de Francia. When St. Hannibal went to him and started reading the hours, he stopped. He said, Father, please, we must be on our knees because this is truly Jesus speaking. Yeah. And I think that's on record somewhere. That's not just hearsay. So I think it's in the biography of St. Hannibal de Francia. And by the way, too, St. Hannibal was also the spiritual director to Melanie Calvert, who was the seer at Our Lady of La Salette, which is a fully approved apparition, fully approved by our Holy Church. And it's interesting too, because the message of Our Lady of La Salette really preempts the divine will. And again, we'll talk about that another time because I don't think we have time for it right now. But what we're doing, Maureen, is we're beginning with another footnote on those graces. And this was footnote number 7, volume 17, May 10th, 1925. Different ways to fuse oneself in the divine will. And this is where we begin, if that's okay.
Okay. Then she added, O Supreme Majesty, in this immense void, there are all these creatures, and I want to take them all and place them in your holy will, so that all may return to the origin from which they came, your will. This is why I came into your paternal arms, to bring you all your children and brothers of mine, and bind them all with your will. And in the name of all and for everyone, I want to repair you and give you homage and glory, as if everyone had done your most holy will. But please, I beg you, let there be no more separation between divine and human will. It is a little child who is asking you this, and I know that you can deny nothing to the little ones.
I like the way she's really, I don't want to say this word, but I can't think of anything else to explain it, but it's almost like she's playing Jesus. Like, you wouldn't want to upset this little child, would you? Poor Jesus. And what is Louisa doing? She's actually asking for all souls to receive what she's received. So she's doing it. You know, she's got that tremendous upright intention and wants it for everybody. And you know what, before I forget, Maureen, one thing I forgot to mention with respect to the Hours of the Passion, if you can, try to find a version that has the notes, not the notes, the reflections of St. Hannibal in the back, because he really summarizes, again, the hour. And again, this is a saint. We have to take advantage of this. So not all the versions have it. Again, that's why we highly recommend Father Annuzzi's Divine Will Prayer Book, because in this you have Father's translation of the Hours of the Passion, the Virgin Mary and the Kingdom, the letters of Louisa, the, what else is in here? Help me out, Maureen. The Chaplet of Divine Mercy is in here. No, not Mercy. Chaplet of the Divine Will is in this. I mean, it has everything. And it has all the, like I said, the translation. So all in one book. We're not trying to sell books, but this is really valuable. It's also valuable, too, because if you think about it really quickly, the Hours of the Passion and the Virgin Mary and the Kingdom, they do possess the Church's imprimatur nihilopstat in the Italian translation. There is no English version that has those seals of approval yet. But the Church does make an exception. And if a bona fide theologian, such as Father Annuzzi, does the translation, then it can still be used, for public dissemination. So they're trusting, you know, the theologian's work and accuracy to take it from one language to the other, you know, without losing that sort of seal of approval. So that's just another reason why to. And if you're going to be introducing this to clergy, highly recommend this book because, again, the first thing that's going to be asked probably is, does it have the church in Primatum de Lobstein? Of course, you can say in Italian it does, but this is not in Italian, so there you can go through the little dissertation I just stated about you know, having this sort of exempt faction that is available to a theologian. So again, another little perk that we can utilize. Okay. Thanks, Marie.
Okay. But who can say all that I did and said? I would be too long. Besides, I lack the words to express what I say before the Supreme Majesty. It seems to me that here in the low world, we don't use the same language as in that immense empty space.
Okay. The reason why I wanted to do a quick stop here was, you know, we talk about, and Father Annuzzi talks about and Father Celso does too, about the language of heaven. This it's not a different vernacular, but it's an understanding of what Jesus is presenting to us in our vernacular. Again, how do you take, you know, human terms and try to, you know, morph it into a divine reality? It's impossible. So the language of heaven is important. So when we read the word, we get a greater understanding of what Jesus is intending us to know by that. And I think she articulates that. And that's why I don't know anywhere else in the volumes, at least I haven't come across it, where she expresses this delineation. And this makes it very easy to understand. She goes, you know, in here in the low world, we don't use the same language. And again, she had the first grade education. So, you know, it's amazing that she was able to, again, through the grace and graces given to her, she was able to put into pen what she had here. So the language of heaven is something we're going to be given through grace and graces. And again, we have to ask for that gift. It is a gift. Oh, thanks, Marie. Okay.
At other times, while I fuse myself in the divine will and that immense void comes before my mind, I wander around all created things and I impress in them one, I love you, for the Supreme Majesty, as though wanting to fill the whole atmosphere with many I love yous, in order to return the supreme love for his great love towards creatures. Even more, I go through each thought of creature, and I impress my I love you through each gaze, and I leave my I love you through each heartbeat, work, and step, and I cover them with my I love you, addressing them to my God. I go down into the sea, into the depths of the ocean, and I want to fill every darting of the fish, every drop of water with my I love you.
Does that sound familiar, Marie?
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm. Yeah, the rounds.
Yeah, that's in essence the rounds. That's giving glory, honor, and love to God on the level of God, due to God. And that can only be done on the level of God, you know, with his will, being fused in his will. And again, what we can do and what she did, I go down into the sea. Did she physically go down the sea? No. But spiritually, she did. And again, I have to believe too, Maureen, that one of the reasons why Jesus asked her to go to bed, you know, because Lucy could walk. It wasn't like she was paralyzed. She could walk, but he asked her to go in bed. I think there was a point here, not the only point, but one of the points is that it doesn't matter what we can do physically or what we can't do physically. It doesn't matter what our degree of or level of education is. It doesn't matter how much money or lack thereof we have. All those things do not matter. It's really just being in that state of grace so that we're open to receive the gift and then receive it. You know, remember, we talked about Father Annuzzi gave us that explanation about mystical gifts that are not given to all souls equally. In fact, they're given unequally, not like our baptismal gifts. And God just gives mystical gifts to whomever he pleases, when he pleases, to what extent he pleases. And we have to believe that each of us have at least received one, because we see a light in this divine will when we were introduced to it that many, the vast majority, do not see. But God placed that gift in us to see that light, now giving us an opportunity, a choice, an option. We can pursue the light, or we can neglect the light or ignore that light. You know, it's a big joke that, you know, people say, you know, stay away from the light. Don't go toward the light, like, because you're going to die. But actually, it's a resurrection. Jesus talks about, you know, this is the resurrection of the human will before we die. The true resurrection, he calls it the real resurrection. In fact, what I'll do is I'll include that link again on what Jesus says about that. That's astonishing. Again, he's giving us that opportunity now while alive. I mean, see, when we listen, you know, Maureen, now I understand sometimes when I listen and we're talking about this, now I understand why some people don't believe this to be true. It almost sounds too good to be true.
Yeah.
Like it's too far-fetched. Again, but why has God given us that comfort, that little bit of understanding to know or to realize, to recognize this as being the gift of gifts? We may not understand it fully. I know I don't, not even close, but I do understand that this is something that I must put all my time into. All the time that I have available must go here. That I'm sure of. And I think many others feel the same way. That's beautiful. Anything else on that, Maureen?
Nope.
Okay, so let me raise this up a bit.
Okay.
And we can go to, yeah, we're on time. Okay.
Then, after she has worked everywhere, as though sewing her I love you, the little child presents herself before the divine majesty, and wanting to make for him a pleasing surprise, she says, my creator and my father, my Jesus and my eternal love, look at everything and hear how all creatures say that they love you. Everywhere there is an I love you for you. Heaven and earth are filled with them. And so now, will you not concede to your tiny little one that your will descend into the midst of creatures? Make itself known, make peace with the human will, and take its just dominion, its place of honor, so that no creature may ever do her will again, but always yours.
So here she is, Maureen, again, pleading and playing that. Yeah. Oh, don't you want to make me happy? Will you not concede to your tiny little one that you will? And what is she asking for? She's not asking for anything for herself. She's asking for others. You know, that's the upright intention. You know, not wanting this just for ourselves or you know, Luis is only ours or you know, anything silly like that. You know, we also remember that Jesus articulates that there's, in essence, four major requisites that we must possess in order for him to open up this treasure chest of grace and graces. We talked about it earlier. One is, he says, we must be in the state of grace. That's clear. So hence, we have a great reason, if we don't have one already, for frequent confession, because we know that if we have that bit of stain on us, we can't receive the grace and graces that we need. We desperately need to understand this gift and to grow deeper in it. And of course, then to share this gift, because Jesus says everything's done. It needs to be known, but we need to know it first before we can share it. So state of grace, Jesus explains, is number one. Number two is we must have an ardent desire. Now, when I first heard this ardent desire, what is that? Is it just a desire? Is it a strong desire? Well, Father Annuzzi once again extracted from the volumes wherever Jesus was talking about an ardent desire. And he put it together into a paragraph or so, and we made a visual out of it. We did a little bit of a chart. Well, of course, we sent it to Father for his audit, and he said, okay, it's true to what I plucked out of the volumes of what Jesus says. So basically, again, we can look at it occasionally. You know, am I forming this ardent? Because Jesus, if I don't have this ardent desire, again, it's a requisite. I want to make sure I know what it is so that I can comply with the requisite. And it's basically, you know, do we love the gift? Do we constantly think of the gift? Do we yearn to know more? Again, there's like seven or eight points on it. It's in the visual Divine Will Visual Aids page at queenofthedivinewill.org. There's other pages too there, but that's clearly from Jesus' words as structured or as removed, segregated from the volumes from Father Annuzzi, by Father Annuzzi, I should say. So that's really important. So again, state of grace, ardent desire. Ask for the gift. This one caught me by surprise, Maureen. That Jesus wants us to ask for the gift. And then he goes further, not in the same area where he's asking us to ask for the gift, but he states to Louisa that he loves to hear the creature converse with him, speak with him. And I believe that's both physical words and subliminal speaking, you know, interior speaking. But he wants that correspondence. He says it's the correspondence that he cannot receive from all of nature. The trees can't talk, but they can reflect God's beauty in their beauty. So he likes to hear us speak. He likes to hear our words. And then the first thing that came to my mind was, oh my goodness, how often do I misuse words that are offending to him? So it makes you think about your vernacular a little bit more. So state of grace, ardent desire, ask for the gift. And then of course the upright intention, which is just, it's charity. It's not wanting this gift just for myself and my family or just my friends. I want this for, like Louisa, she wanted it for all creatures. In fact, she never has for herself. She only has for creatures. She has for all other souls. But if we do that, of course, we're going to be included. Give this, please, Lord, to all souls. Well, we're part of the all souls, so we're going to get it. And we may be a slight catalyst in helping this to go to others. So I just think that's great. I don't think we have time to go any further, but that's okay. Any closing thoughts, Maureen?
Well, what I got out of what we read is when Jesus, I feel like he wants to be approachable and not intimidating. Like he wants us to come, you know, he's just saying, come to me. I mean, we can still have respect and holy fear and awe of God, but I see him as a Jesus that's saying, just come, talk with me, be with me. You know, he wants to be approachable. That's what I'm taking out of this, to not be afraid and know how merciful he is and just go to him. He's waiting. And like this little girl, I see how he wants us to be like little children. This little girl, be a child with him, or like the little newborn, Louisa. Be little and go to him. And it's a great God we have.
It is. Stay little. You know why? When we grow up, we become miserable.
I mean, that's true.
We act miserably. we do all the
Moody.
Wrong things. Yeah. And just so you know, we just be little and be simple. And I think that's easier said than done, because it's like being a salmon. You're going against stream. You're going downstream when the stream's going up or up and down. Because the world tells us we've got to be somebody, we've got to be in charge, you've got to, you know, make it, you know, do your way. And, you know, it's all wrong. It's all the opposite of how we must act and how we must position ourselves, so to speak, to receive this gift. Because again, mystical gifts are not given equally. They're given unequally to God's good pleasure. But we recognize he's already given us a gift, at least one. I'm sure several, but at least one. And now he's waiting for us to use that gift or not use it, because if we do use it, he's going to give more. He promises that. And if we don't use it, he's going to take it away and give it to others that he knows will use it. Maybe that's how we got this gift anyway. Maybe this was taken away from someone who didn't utilize the gift. And now he's residing that in us. And we can do that. We can do this. Why? Because we're not doing it. It's God doing it. We're just giving our fiat. And Our Lady was our greatest example. She gave her fiat, fihi mi. God did all the rest of the work. The big, big work was to say, yes, God, that's what I want. I give you my fiat and really mean it, not just, you know, lip service. And then God did the rest of the work. Same is going to happen for us. It really is. I mean, not like on the level of our Blessed Mother, but the same is going to take place. And then, of course, this we're going to be given this addiction, and we're going to yearn for this gift. And that's, again, it's all in that ardent desire chart. It's really interesting. It's a nice thing to go back to once in a while to say, well, am I doing this well? Am I doing that well? Not to be, you know, too busy analyzing ourselves, but just a nice reflection once in a while. That was a nice, nice summary, Maureen. Okay, I'd like to mention this really quickly. We have another 5 footnotes to go, 6 footnotes to go on this one, you know, Amazing Graces. Just wanted to mention that on Sunday, we will have with us Mother Gabriel Marie and the Benedictine Doors of Divine Will. They come to us live via live stream from Italy. And again, we'll be celebrating the Divine Will by going through the Divine Will. You know, the sisters and mother, they pick out their passages. We never know what they're going to speak about. They don't know what I'm going to speak about. I don't know what I'm speaking about. It flows, especially with having them. My job is easy. I just sit back and listen. I forget sometimes I've got to say something, but it's just amazing. Again, you listen to and hear slightly different perspectives sometimes, but it all comes together. It all fuses together into one. You know, not error, just a little different. And it allows us to better understand what's already been given to us. That's what's so beautiful. And I have to mention this, it may make Maureen feel a little uncomfortable, but we have to thank, God, first of all, for everything. And thank Maureen also, because Maureen introduced me a few months ago to a gentleman, Ken Johnson, who has he does a lot of things for our Lord. But one thing in particular, he has a radio program out of the Philadelphia area. And he was kind enough to ask me to come on and speak about Luis. I think it was like a month and a half or so ago. And I think people were amused maybe by me. He decided, because he's on fire for the Divine Will now, and it's consuming his time. So he's decided now to take his weekly programs, which is 4 per month. And he's going to start off with, because again, he doesn't call the shots, with one week a month. It'll be the last Wednesday of the month will be dedicated to the Divine Will, and I have it right here. And listen to the name of the show. Again, the name of the show wasn't created for this program. This was the name of the show. What the World Needs Now. You can't make this stuff up. So the way I look at this is the way the show has been running for several years, What the World Needs Now. And all the things that perhaps were spoken about on the program were what the world and is what the world needs now. But now we have the greatest need of the world, which is everyone to return to the order, the place, and the purpose which were created by God. So again, that'll be live on Wednesday, May 25th, from 5 to 6, locally in the Philadelphia area on AM Radio 800. You can listen to it via live stream on either in his sign Catholic Radio Network or the radio station itself. So we'll send ourselves in place in prior advance so that everyone can listen if they'd like to. And they'll also be recorded.
That's great.
Somewhere. Well, yeah. Thank you again. Thank you for the introduction, Maureen. Mm-hmm. So great work. And there's a lot of other things going on that are really, really positive regarding the Divine Will. So, you know, don't get focused on the negative stuff that when you hear mm-hmm. sometimes, because it comes, yeah, we hear it also here. There's a lot of really positive things happening. Mm-hmm. And like Father Celso says, buckle your seatbelt. It's going to be bumpy. It's going to be bumpy. But it's going to be a beautiful ride. And the beautiful thing is, too, we're riding together. That's what's really mm-hmm. glorious. Mm-hmm. So we're going to end with a short prayer. And our prayer, again, is going to be a little bit of a supplication. We're going to take Luis's last words. And we can actually convert them to our words as well. In the name of the Father, and of the Son, and of the Holy Spirit. Amen. This is Luisa, March 4th, 1947. Just before she passed this earth. Quote, "Now I see a long, beautiful, and spacious road, all illuminated by an infinite number of resplendent suns. Ah, yes, I recognize them. They're all my acts in the Divine Will. This is the road that I must now take. It is the road that the Divine Will has prepared for me. It is the road of my victory. It is the way of my glory, which will unite me and the immense happiness of the Divine Will. It's my road. It's the road that I have prepared for you, for us. It's the road that I will keep reserved for all the souls who will ever want to live in the divine will. End quote. We ask all of this, Lord, through Christ our Lord. Amen.
Amen.
Name of the Father and of the Son, the Holy Spirit. Spirit. Amen. Louisa's last words, her spiritual testimony, March 4th, 1947. So, again, thanks be to God for everything. And God willing, we'll be back next Friday at the same time. And just keep journeying one step at a time. It's so beautiful. Thanks, Maureen.
Okay. Thank you.
Love everyone.
Have a good week, everybody.